12-year-old identical twins, Edgar and Allan Poe, the great-great-great-great-grandnephews of Edgar Allan Poe, famous 19th-century author of horror, suspense, and detective stories, sat in adjacent desks in their first-period English class. Friends hovered around them asking for details about the recent events in Kansas and New Orleans that had made the twins famous. When the bell rang, their teacher, Mrs. Rosecrans, called the class to order, but no one paid her much attention. It was January 5th, the first day back from winter break at Edwin Buzz Aldrin Middle School, so everyone was still in a holiday frame of mind. 2 weeks off will do that. Of course, Edgar and Allan had been away from school much longer. In mid-October, the Poe twins had been suspended from the entire Baltimore City School District on trumped-up charges. In the interim, they'd had amazing adventures. Nonetheless, they were glad to be back and happy to see their friends. "Did no one hear the bell?" called Mrs. Rosecrans from the front of the room. Edgar and Allan noted that she'd lost weight since they'd last seen her. The glazed donut she habitually set on her podium had been replaced by an apple. Good for her, the twins thought. "Enough chattering," she cried. Then she went on more gently. "Class, I understand you all want to welcome back Edgar and Allan, but we have a guest today." At Mrs. Rosecrans' desk sat a dark-haired woman, well-dressed and possessed of a smile made prominent by a bright shade of red lipstick. She wore so much makeup that there was no way of guessing her age. She might have been anywhere between 50 and 70. She waved a little sheepishly. "Besides," the teacher continued as kids started back to their desks and the room finally settled, "I'm sure Edgar and Allan aren't the only ones who have had exciting adventures over vacation." Stevie, the Hulk Harrison, one of the twins' best friends, muttered sarcastically, "Sure, we've all experienced life-threatening criminal conspiracies, starred in a major motion picture, and discovered pirate treasure." "Now, Stevie," answered Mrs. Rosecrans, tapping the metal podium, "let's not discount the excitement of ordinary life." Stevie said nothing, having learned by being repeatedly kicked out of class that it was better not to push her too far. She cleared her throat. "Our guest this morning is Miss Ra—" But before she could get the whole name out, the dark-haired woman interrupted. "Please, Mrs. Rosecrans, nothing formal." She stood and nodded to the class. "Call me Birdie, kids. Everyone does." It was clear that Mrs. Rosecrans didn't approve of adults using first names in a classroom, but she continued. "Class, this is Birdie from Roastmasters, a nationwide public speaking club." She turned to her guest and made a show of applauding, which coaxed a polite spattering of sleepy clapping from the class. "Birdie has generously offered to lend her expert analysis this morning to a few brief what I did over my winter break impromptu speeches." Public speaking in front of an expert during first period? The whole classroom sighed. "So, who'll start?" Mrs. Rosecrans inquired. No one raised a hand or even dared make a sound. "Come now, someone must be willing to get us back into the spirit of learning." She looked around the room, finally pointing to Stevie the Hulk. "You seemed full of vim and vinegar a moment ago, Mr. Harrison, so why don't you get us started?" She went to stand next to a bookcase. "Great," Stevie mumbled as he squeezed out of his desk and went to the podium. Edgar and Allan thought it too early in the day to inflict their mischievous will on the proceedings, so they sat back like two ordinary students. They just listened, at least until an opportunity for fun arose. Birdie rolled her chair out from behind the cluttered desk to the side of the room opposite Mrs. Rosecrans. "Remember to speak slowly and clearly, and to hit every consonant," she advised. Then, with notepad in hand, she settled like a judge on a TV talent show. Stevie stood behind the podium, looking from Mrs. Rosecrans at his right to Birdie at his left, surrounded. "Enunciate," Mrs. Rosecrans said. He turned to her and nodded. "And stand up straight," added Bertie, removing a pencil from behind her ear. Turning back toward the expert, he squared his shoulders. "And relax," the teacher insisted. He turned once again toward Mrs. Rosecrans. "How am I supposed to relax like this?" She acknowledged his difficulty. "All right, Mr. Harrison, just tell us what you did on your winter break." Stevie cleared his throat. "I'm over the holidays. I went with my family to my aunt's house in Washington, D.C., where we ate lots of good food and watched some great games on TV." "Details," Bertie interrupted, her hands fluttering like fledglings about her face. "It's details that engage your audience." "Okay," he murmured. "Turkey with cranberry orange sauce and the Dallas Cowboys." "Dramatic details." Bertie's hands now flittered above her coiffed head. "Spice your story with conflict." "Conflict," he repeated. "Okay, how about turkey with cranberry sauce versus the Dallas Cowboys?" The class cracked up.